Thank you, worship team. That's kind of the reason for everything that we do at church, is to bring glory to Jesus' name. And he said, if he's lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. And hopefully when people look at our lives, as well as the church's life, they will bring glory unto him. And we'll be a good example for Christ in these days. We're in a series called Starting Point, and this is our third week. Last week we talked about, you know, what are some things that are basis or bottom lines in our faith that we need to understand? And I know a lot of us have been in the faith for a long time, but sometimes it's good just to go back and to review those things. What are the things that we build our faith on that maybe if we can understand them better or see where we're at in that process, and we can share with other people who aren't even to that same place. So last week we talked about sin, that sin was something that our society didn't look upon as being a positive. They don't even want to talk about it. They don't want to believe in it. I put it on the review section there in your outline on the problem of sin. But we saw that the Bible says that we're born into sin. You know, Adam kind of passed that on to us. We couldn't get away from it. And that all of us are sinners. We don't meet up to God's glory. We can't reach up to his standards. And that the wages then are the penalty for sin is death, which we don't like to see, think about. So then all through the world and all times and all religions are trying to deal with that issue. How do we come to a holy God, or how can we be made right with this God? And we have a sin problem. And so different religions have come up with different things. And I put a couple of them on your outline for you here of different ways of dealing with sin. If you missed that key thought there from last week, which I missed as I passed over it, was that the recognition of the fact that we're sinners is just the beginning process. We need to recognize we're sinners or we're not even going to seek a Savior. And so that's what we really tried to come to grips with last week, the fact that, yes, we are sinners and we need a Savior. So how do we deal with this subject of sin? I put on your outline for you under A, the Jews declared that God accepted them on the basis of their birth, their heritage. You know, so when Jesus was here, how do you know that you're accepted by God? It's because we are part of Abraham's children. We are his chosen people. God accepts us and loves us because we're of our heritage. And some religions are that way. You know, join them, you know, marry in their church, whatever. You know, that faith is going to get you to heaven. And part B, Islam devised a plan how God would accept them on the basis of their behavior. Not only their belief and their prophets, but going through these hoops or the five different things that you have to do to make it right or to reach heaven. So it's based on our behavior. And Christians have maintained that are being accepted by God on the basis of belief. At least that's what we say. Ever since the beginning of time, as soon as Jesus left, people were arguing about, do you have to keep the Jewish law? Do you have to go through these works? The Reformation that we talk about, between Luther and the Catholics and the Protestants was all about, is it about good works or is it about faith? We struggle that way sometimes too, don't we? Because we believe in our hearts it's by belief and trusting God, but we still think we have to work our way. And, you know, on the job, you have to earn your money. And if you mess up, or in school, if you don't make the grade, then you flunk out. And it's hard for us to steer away from that works into the way of grace. But we're going to talk about that even today. But here's today's key principle for you to remember. God affirmed the way of faith before the law was even given. And we're going to look at this Genesis passage, but Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Let me give you a little background about Abram. He was born 2 years after Noah died. So if you get that in your mind, Noah lived to be a real old man, hundreds of years. I think I'm 900 or 800. He was really old. But you remember the whole flood and God destroyed the world. True worship came after they had landed on dry ground. Remember, and they built a sacrifice to God, and a rainbow was presented. You know, that was pure worship from God. But now this is 10 generations later, because Abraham lived a long time, and Abraham's born, and you know, they'd already gone through the Tower of Babel, where they thought that they could be God, and God spread them and separated them all through the earth in different parts and different languages. So Abraham's in Ur, and even his father was an idol worshiper. They say that his father made idols. But Abraham didn't go the way of his father, and he stayed true to God. And you don't know maybe how he'd do that. I was studying that Seth, who was one of Noah's sons, wasn't the oldest one, but he kept in line, it says, with Noah's God. He was still alive most of Abraham's life. So he had gone through the flood. You know, he had seen Tower of Babel and all those things because some of those had lived a long time. He had kept the same language as Noah. So probably Abraham had the same language as Noah when they all separated different languages around the world. So I'm sure that Abraham looked up to him, you know, as someone who was following the true God and worshiping him. And Abraham then marries Sarah, or Sarai, who was a very beautiful woman. The Bible says she was also faithful to God. So God calls this couple, Abraham and Sarah, out to be the father of his nation. That's going to become Israel. Ask him to leave Ur, and Ur was a very eloquent, comfortable place. They even had public bathrooms. I mean, they had courtyards. I mean, they were, you know, you think about the Tower of Babel and the cities that they had. They weren't poor, and they understood a lot what they did, and it was really a very comfortable place with a lot of worshiping idols, of course. Calls him out to go to a different place and start living in tents, leave his family, and said, I'm going to build my heritage through you. I'm going to make you a great nation, and you're going to be the father of many nations. But as you know, as time went by, they didn't have kids. So this is 10 years later, still didn't have kids. Abraham's just come back from fighting kings because they're trying to get settled in the land, and kings were coming against him, you know, because they're a big family now. And so he's afraid of the kings coming to attack him. And so we're going to pick up in chapter 15. We're going to look at Abraham's faith and then learn how that our faith, how we can, it's important to us in our life from this story. So Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." But Abraham replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would teach us about faith this morning, that we can learn from the life of Abraham, and that we could have more faith in following you in these days. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to share with you three things about how faith in God helps us in our lives, how it's a basis that we have to build on. The first thing is this, that faith in God helps us deal with the fears of life. If you're like Abraham, if you're like any of us, there are going to be fearful things that happen in your life. And we see on your outline there, I put on that scripture, God comes to him and says, "Do not be afraid, I will protect you." All through scripture, whenever God comes to us, it seems like we're afraid, and he says, "Don't be afraid." And here's the key thought from this point, and that is that God is our shield. You don't have to be afraid, he said, because I will be your shield. Now, it's understandable that Abraham would be afraid. He'd been at just attacking these kings, and he wiped out this one dictator, but he didn't kill him, and he was going to come back, and he could have destroyed him. And so he was afraid. He probably thought, well, did I make the right decision coming out here? You know, he had a handful of men and went against the army. God blessed them, and they won. But now these people might come back and destroy me. So he's afraid of that. And he also had this fear that maybe he made a mistake because the king of Sodom had come to him and offered him great wealth. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah, wealthy place, a lot of money, and wanted to give that to him. And in that time of faith when he was talking to the king, he said, "No, I don't want you to say that, I don't want anybody to say that the king of Sodom made Abraham rich. I'm not going to take anything that you want to give to me." And so the king of Sodom left, and he's probably thinking, now sitting in his tent without any wealth, did I make the right choice, or did I make a wrong mistake here in my life? You know, so I'm afraid maybe these armies might come and destroy me. Maybe I just gave up a bunch of wealth that I shouldn't have done. And beyond that, he had this gnawing problem in his soul about maybe I didn't understand God's promise. You know, I thought he was going to give me a son. I haven't had a son. You know, and he says, well, maybe my servant is going to be the one that you're going to raise up this nation through. You haven't given me a son. And so he's fearful and he's afraid and he's probably having one of those sleepless nights. Have you ever had that? Have you ever wrestled in the night that God, where are you? I don't understand what's going on. I thought you made this promise. It doesn't seem to be working out for me in my life. And he was afraid. And God came into him that moment, and he gives him this vision, and he says, you don't have to be afraid, Abraham, because I'm going to be your shield. I'm your protector. And that presence of God came in and it comforted him, enabled him to go on and continue on in his faith. So what we learn from Abraham and what we learn from God, who's our shield, is that if we have faith in him, he will protect us. We might not understand it. Sometimes it doesn't seem like his protection's around us, but it is. And that we can be confident of that, that God will watch over us and help us in our life. But God's more than just a shield. He says to Abraham, I'm going to be your great reward. Now, I put on your outline under number 2 that faith in God helps us deal with the unfulfilled dreams of life. So he had already been 10 years, and by the way, it's going to be another 14 years before he ever has a son. So have you ever been, you know, waiting for something for 25 years that you thought God promised that he wanted for you and it just wasn't happening? Maybe your life's been that way. Maybe, you know, Abraham's old. I mean, it wasn't just that. You know, maybe his whole life he thought he was going to do something significant. His whole life was something. Now he's an old person. Says, God, where are you in this? You know, and where are the dreams? And God says, I will be your exceedingly great reward. That's the way the King James says it, and I think that's more accurate. It's not like you're going to have a great reward, but I am your exceeding great reward. So here's the key of this point, that God is not only our shield, God is our satisfaction. God says, even if all the promises that you thought that I gave you in life don't come true, I'll still satisfy you. I mean, are you going to wait for that promise? But all through life, I'm with you. Every day of your life, my presence will satisfy you. I will be your joy. I will be your strength. It's not in what the king of Sodom gives to you or how much money you have or where you're living. It's me. He says, I'm the one who will satisfy you. And that's something that Abraham had to learn. But it's really the hardest thing in our life, isn't it? It's when our faith really takes sight is trusting the Lord in the midst of circumstances that we don't understand. Have you ever been there? Things that didn't make sense to you? God, I thought you were working our life, and it's just not working out like that. I know I don't understand how that person could die earlier, why I got this sickness. I don't understand why I lost my job. You know, I thought you were going to bless me and help me. And through all those questions that we have in life, we still have to trust God. Because he says, just rely on me because I'm where your satisfaction is going to be. We read that in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. It said in verse 4 that we read that God reminds Abraham, no, I'm going to make you a great nation. It's not going to be through your servant. I'm going to give you a son. And then in verse 6, it tells him that Abraham believed that, and so God counted him as righteous because of that. But we also know that didn't stop the temptation of doubt from coming into his life, that he and Sarah struggled with that down the road. So it wasn't until like 14 years later, as I said, that God came in and said to him, and they decided to take things into their own hands, right? So we don't have a son, so Sarah gave her maid, servant Hagar or something, to him to have a child, and they had this other child, which was a problem. And whenever you step out of sight of God's will and try to take things into your own hands, it becomes a problem, and it was a big problem. But we then know that God did come back, did give him the promise, and they did have a son, right? Isaac. Isaac, who was going to be the beginning of all this nations that God was going to bring through Abraham, and the true blessing was there. But in the meantime, probably in the majority of life, there was a lot of doubts and there was a lot of questions that Abraham and Sarah dealt with, and sometimes feeling unfulfilled in those dreams. But God said, I'll be your satisfaction. And hopefully they enjoyed their life in all the time waiting. And hopefully we enjoy our life in our time waiting. Because God says, I'll be your shield, I'll also be your satisfaction if you'll trust in me. The third thing that we see here from this story is that faith in God helps us deal with our failures. And because Abraham believed the Lord, it says the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. So it's not only God is our shield and God is our satisfaction, but God is our Savior. Abraham made a lot of mistakes in life. He was a father of faith, but he lied. Do you remember the time earlier in his life where he was afraid because his wife was so beautiful that the kings were going to kill him and take his wife? So he lied and said it was his sister so that he wouldn't be killed. Well, then they did take her, put him in the harem, but God fortunately intervened before the king came with her or whatever, and then she escaped that. But I'm sure God wasn't really pleased with that. They had questions. They didn't always function the way that they should. They moved ahead of God in decisions that they were making because they gave up maybe a little bit on their hope. But God still forgave him. God still used him. God still made him the father of faith, made him of the great nations because of his faith. And ultimately, Abraham's faith and the sign of a Savior came with his son Isaac. You remember that story at the end of his life, because they waited so long for Isaac to come because he's going to be the father of the nations. And then when he got older, and I'm not sure if he was a teenager or how old he was, God said, I want to take him from you. Will you give him to me? I want you to go and sacrifice him on an altar. Which, you know, the pagan gods did, but our God doesn't do that. But it was a test. God said, I'm testing you. You ever notice that in life where God finally fulfills some promise in your life and then he says, now give it back to me? Do you trust me to take it away? The thing that you're waiting for all your life, now will you give it to me? And what did Abraham do? Immediately he said, okay. No, I wouldn't do that with my kids. Okay, God, take my kids. They're yours. But he did, because he had such a strong faith in God. He believed if God took his son's life, the one of the promise, that he would raise him from the dead, or that he would do something, because God made him that promise and he believed. And he was credited righteousness for his belief. And you know the story, of course. He took him up to the mountain, and Isaac says, where's the sacrifice? And what did Abraham say? God's going to provide it, right? God will provide it. He believed God was going to provide it, but he came to the point of taking the knife to kill his own son, and God said, don't do that. I don't want you to do that. I'm not a God who demands your kid's sacrifice. He says, I'll provide the sacrifice, and there was a lamb, right? There was a lamb that was the provision. And it all looked forward to the fact that God was going to provide a lamb for us, Jesus Christ, of that lineage. You know, I'm going to make you of great nations beyond what you can number. If you go back, and interesting thought, if the first time that God promised Abraham that he's going to make him a great nation, he says, look at the sand and the dust. It's like of the ground that's all there. As many as, you know, you could count the sands on the seashore is going to be your inheritance, or the people that's nation will come from you. And then later on, he took him outside and said, look up at the stars. Can you count the stars? As many stars that there are is going to be your nation. And a lot of commentators would say that that was referring to two nations. One nation would be Israel, you know, and all the nations that would come. But beyond that, through him's line that Jesus comes, it's for the heavenly nations, for us, for all generations that would come who would be children of faith because we believed, like Abraham believed. So we see from the story of Abraham that God helps us in our times of fear because he's our shield, that God helps us in our times of doubt because he's our satisfaction, and God helps us in our times of failure, which we all have, because he's our Savior. And if we do that and we believe in him and we believe in the sacrifice that he offers, we find eternal life. That's what we're going to celebrate this morning in communion, is the fact that God provided the lamb. God provided the sacrifice. I don't have to die, you don't have to die, your kids don't have to die, because God provided it for us, that he is the Savior of the world. In application section on your outline, what we must do to find God's help, first of all, we must trust in God. So in our times of fear, we must trust God. He's our shield. In our times of doubt, we must trust God. He's our satisfaction. In our times of failure, we must trust God, because he's our Savior. An application is, which of these views do you believe? Because we're going back again about your bottom line of your faith. We talked about that we're sinners, we're in need of a Savior. Does God accept me based on my birth? A lot of people think, well, I grew up in a Christian home, so I'm saved. That's not what the Bible says, but some people believe that. Does God accept me based on my behavior? We say we don't believe that, but we slip back into it way too often. Just like the Islam who, let's go through these hoops, let's put in my tithe, let's read my Bible, let me witness for Christ, keep all the Ten Commandments and don't miss them, because if I can do that, then somehow my good works are going to outweigh my bad and God's going to accept me in heaven. That's not what the Bible says. Are you accepted on your birth or your behavior? Third part there, God accepts me based on my belief, my trust in God. Could it be that simple? Could it be the fact that you just have to trust God? Could it be the fact that your fears are multiplied in your life right now because you're not trusting God? Could it be that you're unsatisfied in your right in your life right now and you're struggling over, did God give me the promises that I need, because you're not seeking satisfaction in Him, you're seeking it somewhere else? Could it be that you're feeling guilty over your sins today and you can't let go of them because you're not trusting Him as your Savior? Could be. It could be that trust is the key. Faith is the key that puts you into right relationship with God.